Any other announcements that you guys needed to make? Did anybody watch the news in Washington tonight, just the local news? They're still covering the storm. I couldn't take it. I was actually glad when Christy turned it to the cooking channel. Foundational truths for understanding Scripture. We started something last week that I want to finish tonight, and it deals with God's communication with us. What we've learned is that as we read the first verse of the Bible, that God intentionally communicates with us. This is not accidental. This is God setting out to communicate to His creation. And it tells us that God is not trying to hide His existence. He wants us to know who He is, and He wants us to know what He has done. And so we can read the Bible, we can find out what we need to know. God has revealed everything that we need to know in His Word about Himself and about ourselves so that we can effectively serve Him and live our lives here on this earth. And so the Bible is the key to that kind of existence. Now, we ask the question, how does God communicate? Well, there are two primary ways. One is general revelation. That's what we see when we look around. And even studying the human body, you come away saying, there has to be a designer. You look at the heavens, and it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Even a snowflake, the fact that it's white and its uniqueness, those things tell us that there is a designer that's involved. But then there is also special revelation. And the special revelation is that revelation which is beyond what we would call the general. That is that God took a step and said, I want to communicate with you. I want you to know I exist, and therefore I'm going to step out of the normal, I'm going to step out of that general revelation, and I'm specifically going to reveal myself. And it's almost like God is saying, hi, I'm here. That He wants you to know that He exists. And so when we talked about special revelation, I asked you to give me some methods of special revelation. Now, last week we came up with a number of them. I was actually very pleased with what you came up with when we think about it. And it's this question, as you think through the Bible, what are the times that God revealed Himself from heaven? That God actually said, this is me working. This is special revelation. This is me doing something very specific so that you will know that I exist and I'm communicating with you through this. And as we asked that question, you came up with a lot of the things that are on the list that I have for you. And on my list, I have 10 things, including the Bible, and we went through the first four of them last week. And the first four that we looked at were the Old Testament lot. This was something that was apparently very specific. They had learned to use a lot. We would think of it as something similar to a dice, but it was probably more of a yes-no type thing, a two-sided thing. And God used that. God actually was present in that. Beyond that, we have the Urim and Thummim. And that is something that the priest wore and God Himself designed. And there was apparently a pouch on the front of the breastplate. And from what we can tell, it was a little bit of speculation because we don't have a picture of it, but there must have been a pouch, and either there were a couple of stones inside that, and they would pull the stones out, and that would reveal God's will. Or they would take those stones and use them similar to the lot. We don't know exactly how it happened, but what we do know is this was God revealing Himself. He was communicating to His creation. We learned thirdly that there are the two categories, dreams and visions, and we separated them. I don't know how effective we are at doing that, but God clearly communicated through dreams and visions. That is, He made His will known. He made Himself known through dreams and visions. And we will actually be in some passages tonight that will continue that. Well, let's go to the fifth one. And the fifth one is theophanies. Now, first of all, we have to understand what a theophany is. Can anyone tell me what the term theos, that is a Greek word, what's theos mean? God, yeah. It means God. And phanos, it is the appearance of, so it's an appearance of God. So when you have a theophany, you have God appearing in some form. We also have, well, and I should say there are, when you study systematic theology, you also have Christophanies, which would be what? Yeah, it would be an appearance of Christ. And so there is debate about whether or not they're actually appearances of Christ. I think they probably were. Well, let's go on with that. What we're talking about in this are the times that, especially in the Old Testament, that the angel of the Lord appeared. And I want you to see a couple of passages about this tonight because it helps us understand why we call these theophanies. I had you turn to Genesis chapter 16. Many of you read through this recently. This is when Sarah asked Abraham to kick his mistress, which is Hagar. And of course, there was the agreement between Sarah and Abraham and Hagar, and then Sarah was very jealous. But it came to a point where Sarah said, I want you to send Hagar away. I can't stand to have her around anymore. And so she flees, and she's out and really in distress for obvious reasons. And go to verse 7 of chapter 16. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain or a spring of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. Now, who found her? Yeah. Here's the angel of the Lord. This is the first time in the Bible that this angel of the Lord is mentioned. And this is a really interesting passage because here is a lady who's being ill-treated and she's fleeing and now she's out under this spring or out by this spring and the angel of the Lord actually finds her. And he begins to carry on a conversation with her. Verse 8, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, or where have you come from, and where are you going? Or from where are you going, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyselves under her hands, or under her authority. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hands will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for Thou art a God who sees me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that sees me? Now that last verse, I wasn't originally planning to read or to study in detail, but in this passage, she said, I'm going to name this incident, Thou God seest me. As far as she was concerned, this was God talking to her. The angel of the Lord is an interesting conundrum in the Bible because there are times when it is synonymous with God himself. But here is a theophany. Here is God himself coming in the form of an angel and speaking to a person. This is quite a revelation. This is something that is significant because here's God making a promise to her. We know this wasn't your average angel because he wasn't simply delivering a message. He was saying, you're with child, you'll bear a son, and you're going to call his name Ishmael. And here's his future. This angel knows what's going to happen and doesn't seem to be delivering a message. He seems to be dictating this. And so this is God himself in the form of an angel speaking to this lady. Let's look at another one so you'll understand what's taking place, and this one will actually help us define it a little bit more. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Many of you will recognize this as well. This is Moses, the second stage of his life. First stage, first 40 years, he was in Pharaoh's house. Second stage of his life, he's on what we call the backside of the desert. It comes from verse 1. He's keeping the flock in his father-in-law Midian's fields. And so in verse 1 it says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back side of the desert, or the worst west side of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And here he is again. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Notice that that passage begins by saying, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him out of the flame of fire. That's in verse 2. Then who does the rest of the passage say is talking? God himself. Yeah, that's why we look at these appearances of the angel of the Lord and say, this is God appearing to man. Now, how that works, we can't describe. But it's God taking on the form of an angel, but it was something that was evident to the people who were talking to him. This is God. This is God speaking to man. Now, when you talk about special revelation, there it is. Here is God throughout the course of history speaking to man, actually coming down and saying, here I am. I want you to know that it is me. There are other instances of this. We won't take the time to look at each one, but you could go to 2 Samuel 24 and you find the same thing. Here is God coming in the form of an angel and speaking. And it is special revelation. And throughout the course of the Old Testament history, you find that God is doing this. Now, let's make sure we remember what we're studying here. We're not necessarily studying the angel of the Lord and theophanies, but we're studying the fact that throughout history, God has revealed himself. And it's like we say with so many things, either all of these people were kind of in a catatonic state and they're making all of this up, or these are real. And when you look at the course of events and you look over the course of 1,500 years that the Bible was written and 40 different authors, the similarities, the exact similarities of what happened are striking. Here is God making himself known to people. He is not trying to hide himself. He wants to communicate with his creation. You can go to Zechariah chapter 1 and you find the same thing. So here are theophanies. Now, let's distinguish those from number 6. We would be more inclined to think of these. Angels. We have several times that angels spoke to people. We're in Exodus. Let me have you turn all the way over to Daniel. About halfway through, about three quarters of the way through the Old Testament, you'll get to the book of Daniel. And when we think of angels, we will often think of specific times that angels have spoken to people, and we have a few of those in the book of Daniel. So let's go to Daniel chapter 9. A good example of this. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is praying, and as he prays, God is going to answer him. He's really confessing the sins of the nation. You'll find three times in chapter 9, actually four times in chapter 9, where he says, on behalf of the nation, we have sinned. And so he comes to the end of it, and he said, or as he prays, he comes to the end of his prayer. And in verse 20, it says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for his holy mountain, for the holy mountain of God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. The evening offering is what an oblation is. Now, who is Gabriel? Yeah, Gabriel the archangel. Gabriel is one of only two angels that are named in the Bible. Who's the other one? Yeah, your namesake. Yeah, Gabriel and Michael. And then you've heard the third one? Well, there's Lucifer that is named. That's true. We'll give you a third one. But another one? Hark, the herald angel. Yeah. Okay, can't miss him. But here's an angel. Now, this guy's praying, and as he's praying, then an angel actually appears to him. And it would not be anything more than fanciful storytelling if we didn't have the rest of what Gabriel tells him. And throughout the book of Daniel, we have the angel revealing to Daniel things that are happening, things that will happen, and things that are a long way off. And what we have the benefit of is looking back and saying, okay, here's Gabriel delivering this message. Did it come true? And it did. Gabriel's delivering these messages from God, and as God's special revelation, it is a message that clearly was fulfilled. And this, again, is something that we find a couple of times. Luke chapter 2. Let's not turn there. I think you know this story well enough. We're only in January. There are a couple of times, so you might have to narrow it down, but when did the angel appear in Luke chapter 2? To Mary, okay? To Joseph. Okay, the shepherds. There's the one we're looking for. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 is when the angels appeared to the shepherds. And it says they're out in their fields, and all of a sudden the angel appears, and what does he say unto them? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he goes on and he talks to them, talks to those shepherds. And then it says, not only did that angel speak, but what does it say? A multitude of heavenly hosts, a whole innumerable were there and were visible. So here is God, one of several times in the Bible that it's like he pulls the curtain back and says, I'm real. And here is the story of a man or several men out in the field, and God sends people to speak on his behalf. He sends angels to speak. And here again, our point is that God is not trying to keep his existence a secret. He has spoken to people. He has revealed himself to people. And as you go on, you find that that is something that continues. Now, we do not have that kind of speaking today. I'm going to tie some of that together here in just a minute. We don't have that kind of angelic being visiting us like that on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, it wasn't in the Old Testament either. They were unique instances where an angel actually visited. Is it possible that we'll see angels today? All right, unaware, yeah. Some of you have entertained angels unaware. It is not impossible that we would have a glimpse of angelic beings. I've said this several times. You know, once in a while you'll have somebody say they saw a UFO. Is there a spirit world? Sure there is. Has God at times given us a glimpse of that spirit world? Yes, he has. So I never discount when somebody says they see something. My interpretation of it would be, you're seeing something that's in the heavens. And if you really saw something, maybe it was there. So we can't discount the fact that something is there because it is real. But here are these angels. When you come to Revelation chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. Just stay where you are because I think the next one has us back in that area again. But I want to read this to you because it's kind of interesting. Revelation chapter 1, after we have everything finished. Of course, John is getting this revelation before the Bible is done. But it begins by saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So he said, I'm going to give you a message, but I'm going to signify it. The word signify in that passage means I'm going to communicate it by an angel. I'm going to send an angel to give you this message. And so here's John's testimony in the last book of the New Testament. God sent an angel to communicate with me. That's exactly the point of what we're saying. There's another verse in here that I find interesting when it deals with angels. It really doesn't have much to do with what we're talking about, but it's just an interesting fact. Do you know who the angels talked to in chapter 19, verse 17? Let me read it for you. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." Here's an angel that is going to communicate to all the fowls in heaven, the vultures and the ones that are coming to the great war. But it actually tells us God is going to use that angel to communicate a message. And here's, again, special revelation. As you go through the Bible, sometimes we feel like God is so distant, God doesn't want us to know He's there, He's kind of hiding behind a tree. That isn't the case. When you start looking at God's special revelation, He is all over the place. Some that you'll know a little bit better, we think about prophets. The preacher of today is not communicating the word of the Lord like a prophet was. In the prophets of the Old Testament, you had a prophet who was actually getting a message from God and delivering it. Now, a prophet today is more the preacher. We don't have that kind of prophet, and he is explaining the word of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord. We have God's word. And so what we have the privilege of doing is we have everything written down, and we explain it. We study it. But God gave us prophets who literally were His mouthpiece, that He put His words in their mouth. There are a number of places where you find this. Move forward in your, you're in Daniel, so you're going to have to move backward a little bit to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 23, and begin in verse 1. "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." This is David claiming what we know as inspiration. This is David saying, when I spoke, the Spirit of the Lord was in me, and I gave you what His word was. On his deathbed, he's saying, these things were God's message directly to you. He was not claiming they were things that he just came up with. He was literally saying, God's words were in my mouth. God's Spirit was directing what I said. You find that in other passages. Passages like Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. And you'll find many of the prophets begin this way. The word of the Lord was in my mouth. Here is God's word actually in my mouth. And they're not just saying, I found some words and I think they're God's. They're saying, the Spirit of the Lord put His words in my mouth and I spoke on His behalf. These are directly from heaven. And just like we've seen the theophanies, where the angel of the Lord spoke, and we've seen the angels that spoke, and we've seen God's word through dreams and visions, and even the Lot and Urim and Thummim, you have prophets who are now delivering messages directly from God. And these are things that we look at and say, God intended for His words to be distributed to people. When you come to the New Testament, we have some verses that talk about this as well. Ephesians 3:5. Talks about the prophets of the past. And then Ephesians 4:11 talks about the fact He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And so here are people who were dedicated to being spokespersons for God, that they would actually say God's words to other people. Let's put the eighth one up here, and these bring us to things that we're much more familiar with. Events. When God displays himself. If you'll remember when we went through the list last week, we had a lot of things and I said we're going to put those in events. So I went back and I took out events and I just put it in a generic form. So I want you to help me here this evening. Now think through the Old Testament. What are some of the events that took place that clearly would fit in the category of special revelation? That is, that God showed himself through an event. Andy?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, there you go. Sodom and Gomorrah. Definitely. Yeah. Michael?
Parting of the Red Sea.
This is a miracle. Yeah. Joe?
Tower of Babel.
Yeah. The confusion of tongues. Who else can do that other than God? This is God revealing himself through events. What else? Michael?
The plagues,
yeah. Daniel in the lion's den. Here is God doing something that no man could do. He's displaying himself through that. What else comes to mind? Any others? Mark? Yeah, the fire. This is special revelation. These are times when God has put his display on power, his power on display. Try it that way. Yeah. Yeah. He's put his power on display and said, you really can't deny this. I look at some of these other things and think, you know, they're more in the category of special revelation. But the Bible being true, you can't deny there's a God when these things happen. And we can just start through the Bible and recognize those things. Even Joseph being where he was God's power on display. All the way through Exodus, you have miracles. Water coming out of a rock. You get to the time when the tabernacle is finished and God displayed himself by filling the tabernacle with his glory. And you can keep going through the whole Bible and you can find time after time that God displayed his power. Now, how about the New Testament? Do we have anything like that in the New Testament? Maybe God died between the Old and New Testament. Did God do anything in the New Testament?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. Yeah. What else? The virgin birth. Yeah. All of Jesus' miracles would fit into that. You have Peter doing miracles in the book of Acts. You have others doing miracles in the book of Acts. You have God, again, displaying his power. His power is on display for everyone to see. That's a special revelation. If God is trying to hide, he's not doing a very good job. If you look for him, he's right there. He's visible for everyone to see. Michael? Yeah, I don't think you can. Some of the men who are deists, Jefferson's often called a deist, they really saw themselves as equal, the Bible and their minds as equal, and so they would delete parts of the Bible. And that's the only way you can do that. You can't let the Bible have its position of authority and come to that. So I don't know how they came to that. It's just people go through cycles and philosophies come and go. Yeah, that was very prevalent at that point. Yeah. All right, let's go to the ninth one, and that is Jesus himself. Now, how is Jesus special revelation? How would this fit in that category? I mean, it's pretty obvious, but somebody state it. All right, it's God incarnate. Yeah. Much like a theophany, here is God actually taking on human flesh. And sometimes you'll run into a Jehovah's Witness or some other groups that will claim that Jesus is not God. That contradicts Jesus' own claims. When you read through the book of John, the whole point of the book of John is that Jesus was claiming to be God, and who was offended by that? Yeah, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Jews. They were thoroughly offended that Jesus is claiming to be God because they said, we have one God And Jesus said, I am that God. I am that God. Now, you're going to have to comprehend this, that here is a God, and He is displaying Himself in the form of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but it's one God. But you really, it's kind of like the question Michael just asked, to come up with Jesus not being God, you have to not read the book of John the way it's written. Because the whole point of many of the passages is, Jesus is claiming to be God, the Pharisees are mad, so they crucify Him. That's the story. And God in human flesh, dying for our sins, is the whole point of what He did. So here is the special revelation. Here is God displaying Himself for us. Probably the most clear verse on this is John 1:14. It says, and the Word, talking about Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here's God, and He takes on the form of man, and we get to look at that. And then we get a record of that. And when you go on in chapter 2, verse 11, it talks about all the things that Jesus did, meaning His miracles. And those miracles, of course, prove His authority over nature, His authority over the spirit world, His authority over the physical realm. He proved who He was. He proved that He was God. He had the power to forgive sin. And so here is God saying, I want you to see Me even in Jesus Christ. Now, the last one that we come to is the Bible. And the Bible is something that was written to record all of this for us. John chapter 21, verse 25. Let me have you turn to that verse, please. All the way to the New Testament. John chapter 21. This verse has import for several reasons. John 21, he's at the end of his book, and so this is the very last verse, John chapter 21, verse 25. Notice what John said. John 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one or in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, this verse has a lot of significance because John is saying, this is the book you need to pay attention to. Not that this was the only book that you need to pay attention to, but this is the writing that you need to know. He certainly was not saying that it was all-inclusive. He wasn't saying, I'm telling you everything about Jesus Christ. He was saying, there is so much more, folks. There is so much that we could write for ages about what Jesus Christ did, the stories about who Jesus Christ affected. But I've written down for you what you need to know. I've written down for you who Jesus Christ was, and if you'll read this, you'll get the right understanding of who this man was and what he did. And that was John's purpose. I want people to see that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and He died on the cross. And He included in that everything we need to know in order to come to that conclusion. You look at other verses and you find this book is credible. John said as well in John 17, verse 17, Thy word is truth. If you want truth, look in this book. You can go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, in time past, He spake unto the prophets by the fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken to us through His Son. He has given us the message through His Son. Now, what we learn from this and studying the Holy Spirit is that God's focus of attention now is on the Scripture He has given us and the Spirit that indwells us. Now, those are important because that's what helps us understand why don't we have all of these other things. Why can't I pull out a coin today and flip it and say, okay, we're going to cast lots? Well, they didn't have the Spirit living in them before. We have the Spirit guiding and directing us. That's what He promised that He would do. We have decision making that is based upon the Word of God. We don't need the Urim and Thummim anymore. We have the Scripture to give us guidance. And even the dreams and the visions and the theophanies and the angels, we have God's Word. God has put us in a wonderful time where we're not walking along thinking, man, I wish I knew what God thought about this. He's written it down for us. And this is an inclusive book that's credible, it's progressive. And it brings us back to what we've studied before, that the Bible is a unique, special book that God gave to us. And I want you to come back to 2 weeks ago what we looked at in the Sunday morning service. I told you this because we can never lose sight of this. The objective is relational. It's not informational. Many times we can get to the place where we treat the Bible as a book of information. Now, it is. It gives us lots of information. But I even have to be careful about this because I love to study. And you can study the Bible simply for information. That's not what He gave us the Bible for. God gave us the Bible so we could have a relationship with Him, so we could know more about Him. And I often caution people, don't read the Bible simply for information. Don't read through the Bible this year so you can say, hey, I learned a lot. The objective is, I learned about God. And it enhances my relationship with Him. That's what He gave us the Scripture for. So that, not just so we could have more knowledge. There are things He didn't tell us, and we'll never know. But what He did tell us was so we can know Him better. That's the whole purpose of special revelation. And the point of His revelations, His special revelations, was He wants us to know Him. He is not at all trying to keep Himself hidden. He wants you to know who He is and to have a close relationship with Him. All right, we're going to pray. If you have any questions or comments, we'll look forward to those. Father, thank You for the time You've given us tonight. And Lord, I thank You that You have openly revealed Yourself. And Lord, as we have a Bible sitting in front of us, whether it's on an electronic device or in a book form, we know that You have given that to us so that we can know You better. God, I pray that You'll help us to take advantage of that. And Lord, if we take it for granted, we realize that we will regret that in the end. So Lord, thank You for Your kindness. I pray that You'll help us to honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we do not have a prayer sheet tonight. Carol sent me a message just before the service and said she wasn't going to be here, so we didn't get